as well as to offer our worship to all of the great Vaishnavas in the past and in the present. Krishna's mercy is most munificently expanded in this world through his devotees. In fact, Lord Narayan has said, Sadhunam hridayam madam, sadhunam hridayam tvaham, maranyati na janati na ham te vyamanagati. That because my devotee is always thinking of me, I am always thinking of my devotee. Because my devotee has surrendered everything for my sake, I will surrender everything for his sake. There is nothing more great and powerful than a Vaishnava devotee of the Lord. Although such a person, out of humility, rarely will ever display any powers by his own accord, the fact that he has given his life in devotion to Sri Krishna, the power of Krishna's love can manifest in this world only through such personalities. Therefore, Krishna said, Madbhatta Puja Vyadika. That if you want to worship me and please me, that is very nice. Worship my devotee, that is what is most pleasing to me. Because even I worship my devotee. You know the story of when Lord Sri Krishna was living in Dwarka. Sudama Vipra, he was a very poor man. He had no money for even a second set of clothes. And the only clothes that he was wearing were very old and very torn up, not at all presentable to society. And his wife, she had less than him. And they were very, very malnutrition, very skinny and very weak, because they simply had no food. But they were satisfied because they had Krishna, because they were always immersed in remembrance of Krishna, and because they were always chanting his holy name and always serving him and always telling his glories to whoever they would meet. But anyways, because they loved one another, Sudama Vipra's wife requested that your Lord, your Master, and your dear friend, Sri Krishna, he is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune. For myself, I am content with having nothing, but you should have something more. You see, a devotee is never concerned with his own condition, materially, but a devotee is very much concerned with others, to help them, to serve them, to see them happy in every sense of life. So on her request, he went to Dwarka. And when the people of Dwarka saw him, they were quite amazed, because everyone in Dwarka was living in beautiful palaces with wonderful silken saris and wonderful garments, and everybody had beautiful jewelry and was eating luxurious food. And here comes this, he looked like a beggar. Who is he? What is he doing here? But when Krishna saw him, he immediately stood up and embraced him and put him on his own bed. And with his own hands, he washed the feet of his devotee. And after washing his feet, he took that water and sprinkled it on his head and on the heads of the queens. And then Lakshmi Devi, in the form of Rukmini, with a chamara fan, began to, like a menial servant, give him refreshment by fanning him. And then Krishna began to offer prayers and serve him by bringing him wonderful foodstuffs. And Krishna sat at the floor, at his feet, as he was serving him in this way. What does this mean? The greatest power on earth is not mysticism. The greatest power on earth is not great, great abundance of knowledge. It's not wealth. It's not control. It's not having armies and nuclear bombs at your disposal. The greatest power on earth was possessed by Sudama Vipra. He was so gentle. He was so humble. He had so much devotion that Krishna became his menial servant. Krishna is only attracted by love. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Therefore, to remember great devotees of the Lord is to remember Krishna most intimately. Krishna says in Gita, janama karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata tyaktva deham bhunarjan manaiti mameti sorajana. That one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth in this material world, but returns to my abode. But those devotees whose hearts are always filled with Krishna, Krishna reveals and makes himself most accessible and most readily approachable through his devotees. So today we would like to discuss the life of one great Vaishnava devotee, of whom we are celebrating on this very day his disappearance. Today is disappearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. These great empowered personalities were the chosen souls who established the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. And it is by their mercy only that we have any information of the Siddhanta that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. As we know, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one time on his way to Vrindavan, he decided to go out of his way especially to deliver his devotees. He went to a place called Ramakeli. There were two persons of the name Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. Sakar Malik was the prime minister for the Islamic king, the Mughal king, the Nawab Hussein Shah. And Dabir Khas was the home minister. But they were great, great devotees of the Lord. They sent at many times messages to Sri Chaitanya that please give us an understanding of how to love you and how to serve you. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to fulfill their desire, he made a very big detour in his route and he came to Ramakeli. Now because Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas were high posted in the government, and the government hated Hindus, they were afraid to see Lord Chaitanya in public, not for themselves, but they were afraid that he and his followers would have a very, very difficult time of persecution if the king found that his chief ministers were coming for darshan. There was a brother of Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. His name was Balaba. The three of them came secretly in the middle of the night to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his causeless mercy upon them. He gave them initiation, named them Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Anupam. They offered beautiful prayers and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed divine love upon them. In the meanwhile, Anupam had a son who was just a very small child. His name was Jiva. And he happened to follow his father secretly from behind in that night. And he was at a distance, looking through the windows. And he had the beautiful darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he could witness and hear the wonderful, wonderful exchange of love between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his father and two uncles. And from that time on, although he was a small child, he simply had no interest in anything but Krishna. This is very instructive. If you give a child a powerful spiritual impression when he is young, that impression will carry through his whole life. It will influence his every act, his every word throughout his entire existence. Of course, Jiva was not an ordinary child. He was Vilas Manjari, who actually descended from the spiritual world just to assist Lord Krishna in this divine incarnation of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya told Rupa and Sanatana and Anupam, you go to Vrindavan and I will meet you there. So all three of them gave up their posts and went to Vrindavan. Rupa and Anupam, they wanted to meet Sri Chaitanya. They had arrived there after Lord Chaitanya left Vrindavan, and they met him in Allahabad, the holy place of Prayag. And there these two brothers sat for 1 month in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami and Anupam on every level of stages advancing in pure devotional service, from the most beginning stages to the most advanced stages of spiritual life. And he told Rupa Goswami to compile a book of the name Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So on their way to Jagannath Puri to meet the Lord again, Anupam died. He left this world unexpectedly. When news came to his little son Jiva that his father had left this planet, he was bitterly, bitterly bitten by the serpent of separation. He began to weep, he began to cry, and he was thinking, what is the use of this world? What is the use of this body? He was so much influenced by the departure of his father that he just completely rejected any ambitions for any prosperity in this world. What is the use of family? What is the use of children? What is the use of home and big bank balance? Death will come any time. But my father and his uncles, what was their example? They didn't care for these things. They only cared for Krishna. They only cared for seva. They only cared to be compassionate to other living beings, and that is all I want in my life. Although Jiva was in royalty, he was living in a luxurious place. He cared nothing for decorations, ornaments. He cared nothing for fine clothes. He cared nothing for anything but Krishna. His ambition in life is, when will I be able to go to Vrindavan to join my two uncles, Rupa and Sanatana? And he was just a little child. So what he used to do, he didn't like playing all sports and games. He thought it was all nonsense, waste of time. Human life is so valuable. Every moment should be used for Krishna. This was this little child's mentality. Throughout our youth, we're playing all games, completely intoxicated by playfulness. And then by the time we grow up, we have a family. By the time we get done with our games, we have a family. And then we have to work and work and work and work. And by the time you're done raising your family, you're an old man. When will you ever have time for Krishna? Which is the goal of life, which is the only purpose of human existence. to realize Krishna. So Jiva considered every moment so precious, every moment must be used for Krishna. So he was a little boy, and his playfulness was this. He would make, with his own hands, two beautiful deities of Krishna and Balaram. And he would just spend all day serving them. He would bow down for them, and as he'd bow down, he would cry in love. He would pick flowers and make garlands for them. He would get sandalwood and decorate them with sandalwood pulp. Whatever food was cooked in his family, he would just take it to his deities and offer it with love. He would offer aarti with the ghee lamp. He would sing before them. He would dance before them. He would take the prasad and he would find his friends and he would say, "Here, let us all take prasad together." And then he would lead them all in kirtans. Such a wonderful child. It is explained that one day when he was little, actually those little deities, he would spend the whole day with them. And when it was time to take rest at night, he would very affectionately keep them both embraced to his heart, and he would fall asleep in that way. 24 hours a day, he was never separated from Krishna and Balaram. One day, as he was resting with Krishna and Balaram in his arms, he had a dream. In this dream, he saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he saw Sri Advaita and Gadadhar. And he saw hundreds and thousands of people along with them. And they were all dancing in transcendental joy while chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. He was struck with wonder. He was seeing the beautiful golden form of Gaurasundar and Nityananda Prabhu. They were dancing so beautiful, so graceful, and the holy name was resounding in all directions. And lakhs of people, tears flowing from their eyes in jubilation as they were chanting the holy names. And then all of a sudden, he woke up. And he felt so morose. Why have I woken up? What is the use of this world if it causes me to forget this beautiful darshan I have just seen? So he was feeling very morose, and then he fell asleep again. But this time when he fell asleep, Lord Chaitanya, this time when he fell asleep, he had another dream. His own deities, Krishna and Balaram, appeared to him. And they manifested themselves into the original Krishna and Balaram. And they were looking upon him and smiling at him. And seeing their beauty and feeling their mercy, he just began to weep in love. And then he bowed down before them. And when he looked up, Balaram had transformed into Lord Nityananda. And Krishna had transformed into Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And again he bowed down at their lotus feet, and Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya both placed their feet on his head. And then little Jiva, this little boy, he surrendered at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya said, "No, no, I'm handing you over to Nityananda. He is your guru." And then he fell at the feet of Nityananda, and he said, "I am your guru, but I will simply teach you the glories of Lord Chaitanya." In this way, there was such a loving leela right before his eyes. And then he woke up. "Where are they? I was with them, Sri Gauranga and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, that they are none other than my Krishna and Balaram. Where have they gone?" From that point on, he had absolutely no interest in anything but going to Vrindavan to join his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. So he told his mother. His father already had died. He told his mother that he was going to visit some ancestral home. But instead of going to the ancestral home, he went to Navadvip Dham, where Lord Nityananda was residing. Lord Chaitanya had already left the planet. And when he came to Srivas Thakur's house, Lord Nityananda was so happy to see him. Again, he placed his foot on Jiva Goswami's head, and Jiva Goswami just laid there crying in transcendental happiness to receive the beautiful darshan of the Lord. And then Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he took him to all the places of Navadvip where Lord Chaitanya and his associates performed their leela. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written about this wonderful, wonderful pastime in his book, The Navadvip Mahatmya. And after showing Lord Chaitanya's wonderful places of leela, he told Jiva Goswami, "Now you should go to Vrindavan, because after all, Vrindavan is the place that Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya has given to your family. So you should join your uncles there. But on the way, you should go to Varanasi to study scrutinizingly Sanskrit and Shastra from that great, great Vaishnava, disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose name is Madhusudan Vachaspati. Madhusudan Vachaspati. So on his way, he stopped at his home and he found that his mother had died. So then there was nothing else. And he went to Varanasi. And very soon, he became the topmost student of this great scholar. Then he went to Vrindavan. And when Rupa and Sanatan saw their young little nephew coming in the mood of a sannyasi to surrender everything in the loving service of the Lord, to preach the message of Krishna, their joy knew no bounds. So Sanatan was the elder of the brothers. So he fell at the feet of Sanatan Goswami and begged him for initiation. Sanatan Goswami said that, "I am entrusting you to Rupa Goswami. He will be your guru and initiate you." This is the nature of Vaishnavas. Today we find so many gurus, they are very much anxious to steal disciples from each other. They're very much anxious to get more manpower and money by having more disciples. But we find here that Sanatan Goswami, there was so much love and trust amongst these Vaishnavas that everything is one. Everything is Mahaprabhu's. Everything is Krishna's. You go to Rupa Goswami, become his disciple. So he went to Rupa Goswami. And Srila Rupa Goswami, he said, "It is not so easy to take diksha. First you have to prove your sincerity. An initiated disciple must first prove that he is willing to put aside all ego to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Guru. When I train you and you show yourself to be a humble servant, then only can I consider you." Jiva said, "Yes, whatever, Guru Maharaj, whatever you say." So for some years, Rupa Goswami just had Jiva Goswami doing the most menial things. Just cleaning the deity's paraphernalia, cleaning the house, the temple, washing the floor of the temple. He would go out and get palm leaves and prepare them to become the type of scroll, because in those days there was no paper. All of the Goswamis wrote their books in palm leaves, so he would just go out and pick the palm leaves and prepare them and bring them to his guru to write upon. And he would fan his guru, and he would wash his guru's clothes, and he would massage his feet. In this way, Rupa Goswami became very pleased with him, and he accepted him as disciple. And Jiva Goswami was such a humble servant of the Lord and his Gurudev and all the Vaishnavas, all the devotees in Vrindavan. They had such love for this young boy. He was about 20 years old when he came to Vrindavan. He was very young. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Prabodhananda Saraswati, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, all these great souls, he became the life and soul of all of them. He was just so anxious and eager to serve and anxious and eager to learn. But even such wonderful disciples, the spiritual master is always anxious to further purify them. So one day it is explained that this Jiva, young boy, he was fanning his Gurudev, Rupa Goswami, with a chamara. As Rupa Goswami was in the process of writing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, our own Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has translated this and called it the Nectar of Devotion. It is the basic guidebook for all aspiring devotees of the Lord. So at that time, one very, very great senior Vaishnav came in. His name was Balabhacharya. And he was an associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he was older in age even than Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya met him, he treated him as a senior. So when Rupa Goswami saw him, he immediately offered his prostrated obeisances. This is the nature of Vaishnava etiquette. There's no competition. I'm more advanced than you. I should not bow down to you because I am a guru in my own right. Huh? Sometimes gurus, they don't want to bow down before anyone before their disciples. Wow, what will he think? He may think he's better than me and then join him. But this is not the abode of love. Jiva Goswami, his disciple, was fanning him, and when Balabha came in, Rupa Goswami offered his prostrated obeisances. And so did Jiva. Balabha said, what are you writing? He says, I am writing a book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Can I see? He looked at the introductory verses. He says, this is a very nice book, but there are certain items here that should be edited and corrected. And Rupa Goswami said, then you please, you take this book, you take it, and you edit it to your heart's content, and however you edit it, I will accept. I'm so happy that you're willing to help. All of us said, yes, I will do the best. And then Rupa Goswami went to Jamuna to take his bath. Meanwhile, Jiva was standing there with the chamara, and he began to talk with this very senior Vaishnava. And as they were talking, he said, can you tell me what mistake my Gurudev has made in this? He said, yes, you see, grammatically these words are not correct. And also, this point, not exactly accurate. And Jiva Goswami explained to him, in a very humble and very submissive ways, he explained to him what his guru was trying to say and how grammatically it was perfect. Balabha said, my God, what you are saying is true. Everything he has written is so perfect, it's on a higher level than I was perceiving. He said, you are just a young boy of only 20-some years old, and you are so learned, and you are so realized. I can imagine what this Rupa Goswami is. What an advanced Vaishnav he must be. So he gave the book back to Jiva, and he went right to the Jamuna, and he saw Rupa Goswami there, and he offered his prostrated obeisances to him. But Rupa Goswami, what are you doing? I'm so much younger. Why are you offering obeisances to me? He says, no. I have to apologize for the offense that I thought you made mistakes. You can never make a mistake. You are perfect. You are Paramhamsa of the highest order.
People go, so why are you, I thought you were going to edit my book. Why are you changing like this? He said, no. This little boy, this little man, Jiva, he has pointed out my error, and he has established the highest truths of your writings. He went back to his hut. There Jiva was humbly waiting for him. He said to Jiva, why did you correct that great senior Vaishnav? He's senior to me and he's senior to you. Jiva said, I just wanted to establish the perfection of everything you do. He said, what is all this nonsense? He said, he is such a great devotee of the Lord, and he had such a pure, loving motive just to help me. He is fit to be your guru, and you corrected him? That means you have not understood that Vaishnav means a humble servant. Vaishnav means no ego. And Vrindavan is only a place for such devotees. Therefore, because of your pride, you are not fit to live in Vrindavan. You get out. Go home, go anywhere, but get out of Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami, with folded hands, he didn't argue, either internally or externally. The fact is that what Jiva Goswami did was perfectly right. It's the duty of a disciple to defend his guru. And he was right. But when Rupa Goswami said he was wrong, from the core of his heart he felt, I'm wrong. And he began to weep. He said, I have no humility. I have no etiquette. I'm fallen. Better I leave Vrindavan. And he left. And he went to a place across the Jamuna called Nandaghat. And there he decided, there's no use in me living until I atone for this offense that I have committed. So on the bank of the Jamuna, there used to be in those days all crocodiles living. So sometimes crocodiles, they would dig holes and live in these holes in the ground. And then they would leave for another place. So he found a vacant crocodile hole. And he went under the ground in this hole and just sat there crying 24 hours a day, just calling out, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. And the people of that little village close by, they would hear him crying, and they would hear him chanting. They were thinking, who is this young sadhu? Such a person. He doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, we just hear him chanting all day long. He was becoming emaciated. He was very sickly from no food. Sometimes they would leave just some chapati flour and he would mix it with Jamuna water and eat it. And because of that, he got a terrible disease in his stomach. But all day long, he was just trying to atone for the offense of transgressing Vaishnav humility and crying out the names of Krishna. For months, he was in this condition. One day, Sanatan Goswami, he came by. Sanatan Goswami used to travel all over Brajbhumi doing Madhukari. And just, he would go to villages and he would just preach everyone the glories of Radha and Krishna and the glories of the chanting of the holy name. And Sanatan Goswami was known throughout Brajbhumi as such a renounced and such an elevated soul. But when he came to this village called Baigun, they said, you know, there's a sadhu who lives amongst us who's much more renounced than even you. We have heard how you gave your blanket away and how you're living under different trees every night and how you're just begging for rotis every few days. But this sadhu who lives in our village, you should see him. He lives in a crocodile hole, forget under trees. And he doesn't eat anything, and he doesn't sleep at all. He's 24 hours just crying and chanting the names of Krishna. When Sanatan heard this, he said, "Ah, that's Jiva Goswami. We were looking for him. We were wondering, where is he?" So he came to that crocodile hole. He said, "Jiva, Jiva, is that you?" He was so weak. He just chanting very softly. He said, "Come out." He was too weak to even come out of the hole. So Sanatan Goswami had to go into the hole and pick him up and bring him out. And he brought him back to Vrindavan. Then Sanatan went to Rupa. And he said, "Rupa Goswami, you are not properly following the teachings of Lord Chaitanya." Huh? Now, if someone were to tell you that, you would probably say, "What do you mean I'm not? Of course I am. What am I not doing?" But he was very humble. The greatest acharyas. He said, "Oh, please tell me what mistake I'm making. Please correct me." He said, "It is the duty of a Vaishnava to be compassionate to all living entities, to all jivas. You are not being compassionate to a particular jiva." So he immediately understood. And he said, "Where is this jiva?" He said, "He's just outside." So Rupa Goswami went out and embraced little jiva. And he put him down, gave him sitting place, and he personally, with his own hands, nursed him back to health. Now this story can very easily be understood. Why, first of all, did this all happen? Jiva Goswami made no mistake. He was perfect in defeating someone who was finding fault in his guru. So does that mean Rupa Goswami made a mistake by so harshly banishing him? No. Rupa Goswami knew Jiva Goswami's devotion. He wanted to glorify him for all history. He wanted to show what is a real devotee of the Lord. Even if he's right, if his guru says he's wrong, he's willing to say yes. Even if he's more humble than a blade of grass, he thinks himself proud. He thinks himself sinful. And from the core of his heart, he was making atonements. Simply because he felt that he offended another Vaishnava. Rupa Goswami knew that the whole world will praise and glorify Jiva Goswami for this pastime for all time to come. Even if they misunderstand me for doing it, I don't mind. Let my disciple Jiva be glorified forever. Let them see what a real Vaishnava is. So in this way, Srila Jiva Goswami, he lived with the other great Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. He was personally trained by them. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami loved him so much that Rupa Goswami, he carved a deity with his own hands and personally worshipped that deity. It was the deities of Radha Damodar. And out of love for Jiva Goswami, he presented as a gift this Radha Damodar for Jiva Goswami to worship, and he instructed that this is your Lord of your life. You worship with your life and soul. So Jiva Goswami began to worship the beautiful forms of Radha Damodar. It is explained that even the great King Akbar heard the glories of the six Goswamis, Rupa and Jiva and Sanatan. And he became very, very favorable. He read the writings of these great devotees. So he sent some of his servants to Vrindavan. And when they met Jiva Goswami, they became his disciples. And with their wealth, they built beautiful temples for the six Goswamis. They built the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. And in that temple, that became the headquarters for all the six Goswamis. It was Jiva Goswami's personal residence. And all the Goswamis of Vrindavan would come to Jiva Goswami's temple, and they would discuss Krishna Katha, and they would discuss their preaching, and discuss their writing, and they would have beautiful kirtans, and they would take prasad together. And Jiva Goswami began to write, and to write, and to write, and he became the most prolific writer in Vaishnav history. He composed over 400,000 Sanskrit slokas. And his Shatsandarbha is considered the quintessence, the essence of all Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. He was considered the greatest philosopher that ever lived. In fact, even today, the Banaras Hindu University has an entire department to study Jiva Goswami's works. He established all of the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. He established, greater than anyone in history, the supreme essence of bhakti as the goal of all Vedanta, of all knowledge. And after Rupa and Sanatan left this world, all the Vaishnavas of Brijbhumi accepted Jiva Goswami as our leader. He is the commander-in-chief amongst all of us. Even though there were so many acharyas, so many gurus, so many sannyasis, they all accepted Jiva Goswami as our leader. We will all offer respects and serve him. During that time, it is described Srinivasa Acharya, Shamananda, and Narottam Das Thakur. They were young men also. All three of them were sent by other gurus to study under Jiva Goswami. Such love and intimacy the Vaishnavas had amongst each other. One Duki Krishna, he was sent by Hridoya Chaitanya in Orissa to study under Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami, he gave him the name Shamananda. Srinivasa Acharya was the disciple of Gopal Bhatt Goswami, but he sent him, "You study under Jiva Goswami, become his servant." And Narottam Das Thakur, the disciple of Lokanath Goswami, right after initiation, he said, "You study under Jiva Goswami." So all of these three and so many others, they were all trained in love and devotion to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna by the mercy of Jiva Goswami. And then he sent them to preach all over India, especially in Bengal. Jiva Goswami also was the first person in Gaudiya Vaishnav history to establish a library of Vaishnav literatures. In that library he had the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, all the books of Rupa Goswami, all the books of Sanatan Goswami, all the books of Prabodhananda Saraswati, all the books of Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, all of his own books. And they were all the original copies. In those days there were no printing presses. He had the original copies of all these. And he would allow all the Vaishnavas come read these books. In this way, Jiva Goswami, such a devotee, established through his life, through his teachings, the principles that we all must follow. Of course, no one can imitate such a Nitya Siddha Paramhamsa. If anyone tries to imitate Jiva Goswami, he is certain to die. It is humanly impossible. He was so exalted. But we can all strive to follow in his footsteps. Strive to follow the teachings of his books and the teachings of his life's example. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. To follow in the footsteps of such great souls is the way to Krishna. And there is no other way. So by Sri Radha Gopinathji's mercy, this is one of our great-great-grandfathers in our spiritual family, Srila Jiva Goswami. We all have a very intimate relationship to him. Just like here in India, we see when we go to any person's house, they have pictures of their grandfathers on the wall and pictures of their great-grandfathers and everything like that. That is good. That means we are respecting the heritage in which everything we have has come from. Such personalities, Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Acharya Thakur, Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Karunachi. Narottam Das Thakur has sang that such devotees, they never die. They simply go off to join the great dancing Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, to enter into his Nitya Leela in the spiritual world. But their consciousness is so deep and so sublime that they respond to the prayers of those who are praying through the servants of their servants. Huh? When you please your spiritual master nicely, all of the previous acharya's blessings are directly upon you. Therefore, the disappearance day of such a great devotee, we understand this principle, that they are all living eternally. In the material world, when someone dies, they're gone. You don't know where their soul has gone. It may have gone up, may have gone down. We don't know where that soul is anymore. But in this spiritual family, all of our great ancestors, we know exactly where their souls are, in Krishna's loving Leela. And through Parampara, they are hearing all of our prayers. And all of their mercy and blessings is what is supporting us in our spiritual life, moment after moment after moment. We are completely dependent on the previous acharyas, on the previous saints, for all of our spiritual sustenance and advancement. This is the humility a Vaishnava has. A Vaishnava never thinks that on my own account I can make any advancement. It is all these great souls, their prayers upon me, that is giving me the strength. And of course, if we cannot love and respect the Vaishnavas who are before our eyes, how will we ever properly show love and respect for the Vaishnavas who are gone off beyond our sense perception? The fact is, by learning to humbly respect, serve, and please Guru and the Vaishnavas, that is the only possible means of receiving the blessings of Jiva Goswami and all of these great acharyas. Because that is the only thing that will please them. And therefore, it is the only way to please Krishna. So Jiva Goswami lived a very old age. And when he left this world, he left behind such a great powerful spiritual inspiration that even today, approximately 400 years later, we are still deriving unlimited inspiration from his words and his life. This is the greatness of the devotees. And of course, although Srila Jiva Goswami wrote over 25 full volumes of books with the most exact and precise philosophy, his conclusion was that everything culminates
in unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord, Sri Krishna.
And that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught
what is the means of attaining that unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service. To serve the Vaishnavas and to chant the holy names.
The congregational chanting of the holy names is the conclusion of all the writings of all of these great acharyas. Why? Because it's the conclusion of the writings of Vedavyas, the author of all the Vedas.
So as we have said so many times before, what is the greatest way we can honor, respect, and worship our Guru and all of these great, great Vaishnava acharyas?
By coming together with sincere hearts in congregation to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Srinivasacharya explains the life of the six Goswamis. Krishna Kirtana Nagana Nartana Paro.
How they were always immersed in dancing and chanting and serving one another, never caring anything for sense gratification, but simply concerned with chanting, dancing, and serving one another. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano, and writing wonderful literatures to establish this.
And how fortunate we are that this supreme blessing, this supreme mercy is so available to all of us, especially here today. So many wonderful, sincere, and humble Vaishnavas have gathered together. Such an opportunity. One moment to be with such devotees chanting the holy names is more precious than all the wealth of the King of Heaven, Indra. We should cherish and be grateful for the opportunity and take advantage by chanting Krishna's holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.